The Gemara had related a conversation that there was a man who had said to his wife, "My possessions are going over or to your child who's currently in utero, your fetus." So Rav Huna said, he's trying to give possessions to a fetus. That doesn't work. So Rav Nachman said, "What do you mean it doesn't work? What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if a man says, 'If the child inside my wife's a boy, so 100 shekel to him. If the child inside is a girl, 200 zuz to her.' But then if the boy comes out, it gets the 100. If the girl comes out, she gets the 200. So our Mishnah seems to say you could give to a fetus. So Rav Huna said, "I don't understand the Mishnah. I don't know who would ever say such a Mishnah. I don't know who the Tan of that Mishnah is." That was the conversation. So the Gemara had said, why is this Mishnah so hard to understand? Why does Rav Huna say he doesn't know who the Tan of the Mishnah is? Why can't he explain it differently? Say that the Mishnah is not even talking about a gift to the child. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a gift to whomever gives him the news of such a child. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't work with the end of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, were we on the bottom of Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis? Did we get to Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph? I think we got to Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Right? So Gemara goes through all these different possibilities, right? Why didn't he say that the Tan of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha? So Gemara says, well, maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha doesn't agree that you could give property to a fetus who's in utero. Why didn't Rav Huna say that the Mishnah doesn't mean that the money's going to the fetus? It's going to whomever gives him the news of the birth. So if so, why would the end of the Mishnah say, in terms of a tumtum, if there's no one to inherit other than the tumtum gets everything? If we're talking about that the money is being given to the person who brought the news, so then what do you mean that the tumtum's getting everything? Why would we even talk about that suddenly? So the Gemara says, finally, three lines from the bottom on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Lei Malei B'Shiyalda. Why don't we say that the Mishnah is talking about not that the fetus is getting the money, when the fetus is born, he gets the money. So, Iyachi, if so, the Ketani is safe for what it says at the end, Vim Amar, but if he said, Kol Mashatele Dishti Yito, whatever comes out of my wife's womb, he'll get, Tereza Yito, then the Tumtum gets it. So Kol Shatelet, it shouldn't be if he said anything that she will give birth to. Kol Shayaldomi Bailet, it should be anything that she did give birth to. Anything that already came out, included even the Tumtum, would get.
Because we concluded you can't give something to somebody who's not in the
That's
world.
The view of Rabbi Yossi, right? The view of Rav Huna, exactly. So now starting 142a, page Kuf Mem Beis. So why didn't Rav Huna propose that the Mishnah is Damar Likishatelet? It's true that the man is saying, I'm giving the possessions to the fetus, but maybe the case of the Mishnah is where he said, I'm giving it to the fetus and it'll become the possession of the fetus once the fetus is born, once my wife gives birth. So the Gemara answered, Rav Huna l'tameh. Rav Huna didn't say that because he's being consistent with his point of view. So I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, you can't give to a fetus, and even to say, I'm giving to the fetus, and it'll become the fetus's possession once he becomes a child, also doesn't work. Aflikishateled lo kana. Even when he says that it's only going to become the possession of the babies once the baby comes out, also doesn't work.
When the baby's in the stomach,
that's the discussion. This is the issue.
Okay,
that's right.
But they're making he said you can make it conditional.
We're saying according to Rav Huna, since the act of acquisition is being done at a time when the fetus is not a life, he's just a fetus,
so he can't
acquire, even though he's trying to acquire once it'll come out. He's saying the act is happening now, but it'll take effect once the child comes out. That doesn't work according to Rav Huna. That can't acquire.
So,
Tamra, yeah, what's that?
So the bottom line is you cannot designate
inheritance for future unknown,
According to Rav Huna.
Right.
According to Rav Huna. Tamar Rav Nachman, as Rav Nachman said, that this question was a dispute, a three-way dispute. Hamizakilu Ubar, if someone tries to gift over possessions to a fetus, in other words, his wife is pregnant, he doesn't know with what she's pregnant, and he says, this field, this house of mine is going, will go to this fetus. So lo kana, the fetus doesn't acquire. If he says it's going to the fetus, but it'll only take effect once the fetus is born. In other words, right now he signs the contract, or right now he does the act of lifting the handkerchief on behalf of the fetus, but he's saying it's only going to take effect once the fetus comes out, once he's born, l'kishateled. Then kana. Then the fetus does acquire, unlike Rav Huna. However, Rav Huna said, as we just said, aflakishateled lokana. Both if he says the assets are going to the fetus who's currently in the stomach, or if he says it's going to the fetus who's in the stomach, but it'll only happen once the fetus comes out. The fetus will only acquire once he's born. The fetus does not acquire. Rav Sheshes Amar, Rav Sheshes said, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Kana. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Rav Sheshes says that a fetus does acquire. So both where he tries to gift to the fetus and the fetus is still inside the stomach, or to gift to the fetus who's inside the stomach that it will take effect once the fetus comes out, both cases, there is an acquisition. Amar Rav Sheshes said, Mina Minola. Again, remember, these are all Amoraim. Rabbi Nachman, Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes. These are all the rabbis of the Gemara who are explaining Mishnayot and Braitot, which are the documents of the Tanaim, of the rabbis of the Mishnah. So Rav Sheshes said, what is my source from earlier generations that this is in fact the case, that a fetus can acquire? The Tanya, we have the following Braisa. We know that normally, if a person dies, his closest relative will inherit. So anyone who is a descendant of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov will have some relative. He may not have children, he may not have brothers, he may not have uncles, but there's got to be some relative, because you keep going up and up in terms of the line of the fathers, the great-grandfathers, brothers, children, and these cousins will now inherit. However, a convert may not have relatives to inherit him. Because when a non-Jew converts, it's as if he's born. He loses all of his other family relationships. He's now beginning completely afresh. He doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a sibling. He's starting all again. So a convert who converts could have no relatives in theory. So then if he were to pass away, it's not that the relative is going to inherit, because there is no relative. We don't give the money to the non-Jewish former family, because when he converted, he became new. So the money is ownerless, and anybody could jump and try to take possession of it. It's called Nichsei Ager, the possessions of a convert. Now, obviously, if the convert has a son that was born to him after he became Jewish, then that son would inherit. But we're talking about if we don't, if a convert doesn't have relations, so relatives, so then the money becomes ownerless. So here we have the following braisa. Ger Shemes. There was a well-known convert, and everybody knew him. They didn't know of him having children. They just knew him. And then they see that he dies, or they hear that he dies. So the rumor spreads, okay, there's ownerless money here. So people jump for it. Ubizbizu Yisrael Nechasav. So there were Jews, obviously non-relatives, who used his possessions, or they grabbed his possessions. Then Vishamu Shiyesh Lobet, then they hear a rumor. He really was married and he had a son. Now that son automatically inherits because he's the son. So you're stealing the son's money. Oh, Shaisa Ishtamu Beres, where they hear that the wife was pregnant. So one second, if the wife was pregnant, So what it sounds like here is that the fetus inherits, and therefore really the possessions were not ownerless. So once they hear that, chayav and lahachzir, they have to let go of the property, and they need to give it back. Herzirakol. So let's say they gave it all back. Then v'acharkach shamu, then they hear shemes pino, that this son died. Oshe pilo ishto, that this fetus unfortunately died in a miscarriage. So now, herzik b'shnia, if they go back to the properties and they do a new act of acquisition, kana, they acquire. Ubarishona, but if they're just relying on their first act of acquisition, that was done, it turns out, at a time when there was a child or a fetus, lo kana. So that act of acquisition didn't work. So even though now there is no child and fetus, but they didn't do an act of acquisition, and the money is ownerless, somebody else can grab it. Now, Isaka daitach uber lo kani, says Rav Sheshes. If you're going to think the way Rav Huna's arguing, that a fetus doesn't acquire, and even telling the wife, it's going to the fetus, it'll be his once he comes out, doesn't work. So if you're going to say the fetus doesn't acquire, so lama liach zuki b'shnia, why do they need to do a second act of acquisition? Ha'ziku l'chada zimna, they did a first act of acquisition. At the time there was a fetus, the fetus doesn't acquire. And there was a miscarriage, the fetus never came out. So that first act of acquisition should have worked. So why did they need to do a second act of acquisition? So that was the question. So therefore, based on this, Rav Sheshes said, you see that a fetus acquires. So now, this is not a case of a gift, this is a case of inheritance. So Rav Sheshes is making a little bit of an assumption here. He's saying if a fetus is a life and a child, so that he can inherit father, he's also able to acquire a gift given to him. So Amar Abaye, Abaye said, no, there's not, you can't make that comparison. Yerusha ba me'leh shani, there's a difference between inheritance, which doesn't require an act of acquisition, which happens automatically, and a gift. What's the case of that brisa? That brisa is a case of a convert whose wife has a fetus. So his wife has a fetus, so basically that fetus comes from the convert. So then when the convert dies, the property of father goes to son automatically. You don't need to do an act of acquisition for son to get the property of father. Inheritance is an automatic process. The son is the extension of father. What was father's is continuing now in the hands of son. So that applies even to a fetus. But that's not the case of Rav Huna. Rav Huna's case was where a man was trying to gift property to a fetus. So, not an inheritance. He's trying to gift money over to a fetus. And maybe even to say it's going to happen when the fetus comes out. Maybe to say it's going to happen now when the fetus is still in utero. But either way, it's a gift. A gift is not something that happens automatically. There's a transfer. A fetus is not a viable life and an independent being to be able to be the recipient of a transfer. So in a case of a fetus inheriting, yes, a fetus can inherit. So therefore, they heard that the convert died, they grabbed the convert's assets, thinking it's ownerless. Turns out there's a fetus, the fetus inherits automatically, so their act of grabbing didn't work. Then the fetus dies, they have to do a new act of possession on the property. But in the case of Rav Huna, where a man is gifting an asset or money to a fetus, that can work.
Rabbi, why wouldn't it go to the mother, to the wife?
Because wives don't inherit their husbands.
They don't. Only get two. So, Rabbi, who are those people who grab the his assets?
Jews.
And our neighbors.
Anybody
come in, first come, first serve?
Yes, first come, first serve.
Certain
exactly.
Things don't change.
An inheritance is a unique transaction. It's unique that you don't need to have
for sure, and it's an automatic process.
But a gift, you have to have a kinyan.
Does it matter if the mother is Jewish or not Jewish in this case?
Of course it does. If she's not Jewish, then there would be, the baby is not related to him.
Rabbi was saying when we say the fetus, if the father dies while the baby is still a fetus, the fetus can inherit it. But if the father is alive and gifts it, he can't gift it.
That's sort of shape. That's what we're arguing.
A twist to this, because then we didn't know what happens if there's twins.
Be the same.
Is it split between the two children, or is it only yes. If the first one is the male gets it, or is it the?
Well, it would depend. If the twins are a boy and a girl, only the boy would get. But as we'll see in today's daf,
which comes first?
It doesn't, because we're going to see in today's daf that the law on the Amud Beis, the law of a firstborn, is that he has to have been a firstborn during the lifetime of father. If he's born after death of father, then there's no law of firstborn.
Rabbi, just to clarify, he met the Giyur, his Tengele, he brought from his one of the Goyim. Okay.
No, that's not the case.
No?
No.
Who is the wife?
A Jewish woman. Ah, after he converted, he married a Jewish woman.
So, and what is the question? Is he Jewish? The boy is Jewish.
Correct, but he's a fetus. He's still inside the womb. He's a bar. He hasn't been born yet. But she doesn't inherit.
It should go to Hekdesh, no?
No, it doesn't go to Hekdesh. It's ownerless.
Really? Isn't she Shayudi already?
Yes.
You didn't know. When she's pregnant, it becomes the babies.
Rav Amar, Rav gave a different answer. Again, Rav Shesha says he proved from this brisa that a fetus can acquire. But we saw that Rav Nachman says a fetus can't acquire. We saw Rav Huna says a fetus can't acquire. So Rav Amar, Rav said, Shani Hasam, there it was different. It's not so much that the fetus acquires, but rather that the act of acquisition, the first act of acquisition, wasn't done well. Why? Because acquisition also, part of it is a mental state. That a person is using the object and displaying ownership. That he's the owner. But here, derefuye marfion biyodayu. Here, the first people who grab, their act of grabbing was hesitant, was ambivalent. It was weak in their hands. Why? Because meikara from the very beginning, because they grab, then they hear there's a fetus, so this fetus can be born. Oh, thank you. If he's born and he's a viable life, so then he certainly inherits. Then their act of grabbing was meaningless. So when they grab, they don't know if it's going to work. If there's not going to be a child, this is going to be an act of acquisition on ownerless property. But if the child actually comes out and lives, I'm going to have to give it back, because then it turns out retroactively that this was nothing. So when because they know there's a possibility that what they do won't work, they don't do it wholeheartedly. They do it, hesitantly. An act of acquisition which is hesitant doesn't work. So it's not that the fetus, as a fetus, owns the property and therefore knocks out their act of acquisition. Since the fetus obviously is the possibility of a viable life, of a son, and a son certainly would get the property, then whatever they did was meaningless. So what they did was done hesitantly. And what's done hesitantly doesn't work. So that's why even when they later hear that the fetus died, they need to do a new act of acquisition to acquire. So the Gemara now says, my benai.
Right. It sounds like they heard after the fact. The way the Brisa reads is they picked it up, and then they heard she's pregnant. So they didn't acquire it hesitantly.
Right. Well, they didn't know it sounds like...
Apparently not. Apparently they had heard beforehand.
They didn't know he even had an heir. They didn't know she was pregnant either. So when they did acquire it, it was not...
And then after they found it out, they're not going to bring it back that way. That's it.
Well, they have to give it back. It's not theirs.
I mean, if they come and grab it, who takes the inventory of who took what?
Maybe Besdin does.
So it means that the Fiti does have rights.
Not that he owns it. It's not that he's owning it. It's that his presence impacts what's going on. Because since he could become a child, and as a child he would own it, when they go and grab, their grabbing is hesitant.
Yeah. Rabbi, people, I mean, they take stuff.
So yeah, but psychologically, they are hesitant because they know they may not be able to own it.
Sounds like they took it, and then they heard that they had a son.
But apparently not. This explanation would be... So we'll see that in a second.
Even if they heard that she was pregnant, and we are saying that when the fetus is not born, the fetus has no rights...
Correct.
Then that property is healthcare.
No, because once he will be born, then it shows retroactively that the convert had was going to have an heir, and no one was allowed to take it.
So we're saying that once he's born and he's viable, then retroactively...
He will inherit, that's right. Now the Gemara asks, so what's the difference between these explanations? My Benai, what's the difference between Abaye and Rava? Answer the Gemara like this. Ika Benai, the difference would be... Shashamu bo shemes. The people who had grabbed had heard that the fetus had died. But in actuality, v'lo meis, he hadn't died. V'achar kach meis. And after they grabbed, they were told he didn't die. They released it. And then it turns out that there was all misinformation. He had really been dead the whole time. I'm sorry. Not that it was all misinformation. That they now he does in fact die. So, if you say that it's the fetus owning it, which takes it away, so here the fetus wasn't around to own it. I'm sorry, the fetus was around to own it. But if you say that it's their hesitancy, because they know there's a fetus, here when they did their act of acquisition, they were told that the fetus was dead. So they did the act of acquisition wholeheartedly. And it turns out that now he is dead. Then that act of acquisition would have been enough.
Rabbi, what happens? The boy is born Jewish, right? Because his mother is Jewish. So he's no longer a convert, so how could they then go possess property?
That's his father, though.
The owner was the convert.
What's that? I'm sorry?
His father was the convert, but he gets the property of his father.
So what happens, I don't know, 3 generations later, you have a similar situation, and everybody is dead, but... nobody remembers that 3 generations ago that somebody converted.
Well, they would do the research. They'd do a genealogy chart. You'd see.
Go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
All right, so now we're in this issue. Again, there are 3 opinions about giving over possessions to a fetus. Rav Huna said it doesn't work under any circumstances, even when he says the possessions will become the fetuses once he's born. Rav Nachman says to give the possessions to the fetus while he's a fetus doesn't work, but that it should belong to the fetus once he's born will work. And Rav Huna says, Rav Shesha says that all cases do work, to give to the fetus while he's a fetus, and to give to the fetus that will take effect once the fetus is born does work. Tashma, come in here, proof. We learned the following. Tinok ben Yomecha, this is the Mishnah in Meseches Nida. A child who's 1 day old, nochel, can inherit, umanchil, and can transmit inheritance. So what does it say? Ben yom echad. If he's 1 day old, in ubar lo. But a fetus does not inherit or transmit inheritance. So you see explicitly against the view of Rav Sheshes.
Wait, so you can transmit even without das?
Yeah. Yeah, if there's a child, he inherits from his father or his mother, he then dies, his brother will inherit him.
The child dies, so it's an automatic.
Yeah, inheritance works automatically.
Are we saying it's only 1 day old because that means it's born?
Yeah.
Or because...
Yeah, he's born. So that sounds like he has to be born to be able to inherit and to transmit. So again, he has to be born, but a fetus not. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes explained that what that Mishnah means, Nochel b'nichsiyayim lahanchil la'achim in a'av, that an infant who's a day old can inherit the property of his mother, so that if he then dies, it'll go to his brothers from the same father. V'dafka ben yom echad, and this is true about a boy who's a day old. Aval ubar lo, but if a mother dies and there's a fetus inside of her, we wouldn't say that the fetus inherits her property and then it goes to the siblings. My time, why? Because when you have a pregnant woman who has a fetus and she dies, who my aspiration? Normally, the fetus dies first. And once a child is dead, he can't inherit his mother's property in his grave. Lahanchil, to then transfer the property, lachem in a'av, to his brothers from the father. So that's why it's said that a fetus, once a baby, once he's at least a day old, can inherit and transmit. Because we're talking about inheriting from a mother to transmit to brothers from father. And if he wouldn't be a day old, then he would have died. Because if he's a fetus, then he dies before the mother. And since he dies before the mother, then you, what are you saying? You're saying that he's inheriting when he's dead? When he's dead, he doesn't inherit his mother's property to give it to his brothers from father. Rather, the property will go to the mother's brothers, the mother's father. So the Gemara says, "Lememer du my aspirations." Is this true? Is this a normal rule of science that when a pregnant woman dies, her son dies, her fetus inside of her dies first, and then she dies? For Hava Uvda, but we know there was a story once with a pregnant woman dying. We saw three movements of the fetus. The stomach was there of the pregnant woman. And the baby kicked three times after she died. I'm a Marbaravashi. Marbaravashi said movements don't necessarily reflect life. The same thing is true with the tail of a lizard. You can cut off the tail of a lizard and it still jumps around this way, that way, but it was cut off. It's certainly not alive. It's not connected to the brain. It's not connected to the heart. It's not alive, but it's still moving. So movement doesn't necessarily mean life. And therefore, no, we're staying with what we've said till now, that normally a baby dies inside of a womb. The baby dies first inside the womb, and then the mother.
Is it true, Rabbi? I don't think
so. The Rishonim explained that there's a difference between how it dies. Or if it's dying from natural means, normally, when a pregnant woman, through natural means, dies, the baby dies first and then the mother. But if, let's say, it was unnatural means, someone shoots the mother, chas v'shalom, or something like that, then it wouldn't be the same. It's not the same.
You're not talking about dying in childbirth.
Exactly.
She died.
Right.
Not during childbirth.
Yeah, we know for sure that there are women who die in childbirth and children come out. So now the Gemara gives another explanation for that Mishnah in Nida. Mar Brei de Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rav Amar, Mar the son of Rav Yosef, says in the name of Rava, what does the Mishnah mean that a baby who's a day old inherits and can't transmit inheritance? Lo Mar Shememayit B'chelek B'chora. He has to be a day old in terms of a certain law of inheritance to reduce the portion of the firstborn. Dafka ben yom echad. He has to be a day old for that. Aval uber lo, but if he's still a fetus inside the womb, he can't reduce the portion of the firstborn. My time, that's because of a special pasuk. The pasuk says, right, if a man will have two wives, a beloved wife and a hated wife, the yaldulo banim, and they'll give birth to him sons, the beloved and the hated. The oldest, the firstborn son, was of the hated wife. So the Torah says, Lo yuchal levaker es ben ahuva. He's not able to show any precedence to the son of the beloved. Al pnei ben abuchar asniyah, over the face of the son who is not beloved. The Torah says, V'yoldu lo, and they will give birth to him. So when do you have the law of multiple children? When they give birth to him. They have to be born already. And Rav Yosef said in the name of Rava, Ben shenolad li'achar misas aviv, the father dies, leaving his wife pregnant. And after his death, she gives birth to a son. That doesn't impact the Bechorah portion. So let's say there was a man who during his lifetime had five sons. One a Bechor and then another four. So we take his property, we divide it into six pieces. Two of those pieces are to go to the Bechor. Now he dies, but the wife is pregnant. So those two pieces will still go to the Bechor. And of the other pieces, those other brothers are going to end up losing out from their share with this new son getting an equal share to them. He gets an equal share to them, but he doesn't impact the portion going to the Bechor.
The Bechor share doesn't shrink? Like
doesn't shrink, exactly. My time because of the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says about the Bechor share, V'yoldulo Amar Rahman, if they had given birth to him, V'haleka, here, this baby hasn't been born yet. So since he hasn't been born yet, he doesn't impact the Bechorah portion. Besura masnuhachi. In Surah, this is how this entire Gemara was taught. But in Pumpadisa masnuachi. In Pumpadisa, they had a different version. Amar my brother Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava. Amar, the son of Rav Yosef, said in the name of Rava. Bechor shenolad liachar misas aviv. Eino notel pishnayim. A firstborn who is born after the death of father doesn't get a double in portion. That's the case of Lloyd. In other words, a man dies leaving his wife pregnant, and she gives birth to twins after his death. So we don't care which son came out first. He's not going to get a double portion over his brother. My time of why? Because the Torah speaks about the rights of a firstborn as being the father recognizing the firstborn. Yakira Merachmana, he shall recognize, Hashem said. For Halesa the Yakir, he was never alive during father's lifetime for father to be able to recognize him. The Hilchasan Allah is Kachalani Lishni, the Amar Madrid of Yosef, Mishmei Durava. Like all these versions of what Mar, the son of Yosef, is saying in the name of Rava. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hamizaka l'ubar lo kana. If a person is giving possession of an object over to a fetus, the fetus doesn't acquire. Vim toma mishnah seinu. And if you're going to ask, but what about our mishnah, which says that a man can say to about his wife who's pregnant, if she's going to have a boy, it's 100. If it's a girl, it's 200. So here he's giving to a fetus. No. It's not a regular fetus. This is a fetus who's a child. Because a person feels very close to his son. So then when he transmits ownership of property to a son, so that takes effect because there's a full gmiras das, there's a full commitment. But to someone else's fetus, it's not his son, he doesn't feel so connected. So then the halacha is that he can't give ownership over. It's like a davar shel bal olam. It's like something that's not really in the world. It's not, we don't believe it. It's a wholehearted commitment. Amar le Shmuel Rav Chana Bagdata. Shmuel said to Rav Chana, who was from Baghdad, Puk Isili Beyasara, go out and bring me 10 people. Veimalach Ba'apayu, I will tell you in front of them that unlike the view of Rav Yochanan, I hold Hamizaka Le'ubar Kana. If a person gives ownership of something over to a fetus, the fetus does acquire. But even though that was the view of Shmuel, and Shmuel was the judge of Naharda, halacha's not like him. The Hilchasa, the halacha, to conclude this discussion, Hamizaka Le'ubar Lo Kana, if a person tries to give possession to a fetus, the fetus does not acquire.
But it's different for the father.
And the father would be different to his son.
So what happened? Oh, so
but the father is alive now or dead?
He's alive when he made the transmission, but I guess he died afterwards.
So if somebody gives, if a non-father gives something to a fetus,
the fetus doesn't can't accept it. So what? It's ownerless. So someone else can jump in and.
No, it's still his. It's still his. It never left his possession.
It never transferred.
There's a story. There was a man who said to his wife, "Nechasai livnei dihevi limine. My possessions are given to my sons that I will have from you." She wasn't even pregnant. We're talking about something completely in the ether. Asa break shisha. So the older son, who had been born from another wife, came. Amarle said, "What's going to be with me? Ahu gavra mai tevi ale. What's going to be with me?" So Amarles, he said to him, "Okay, you're also getting zilkni kechad mibra. You go acquire like one of the sons." So now the Gemara says, "One second." Then he dies, let's say, or whatever. So hanach vaday lo, or he didn't die. Hanach vaday, these sons that he will have lo kani, they didn't acquire yet. Akati lesson, they didn't exist. They weren't even conceived. Hi. So now this son, the older son. So, does he have a portion with the sons who will be born from the second wife? Or he's not going to have a portion with those sons who will be born. So, this was an argument. Reb Avin and Reb Meisha and Reb Yirmiyah and Ami, they said, "Is chuluk l'talya b'makom banya?" He's going to have a portion with those sons. And Reb Avo and Reb Chanina and Reb Papa and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha say, since at the time of the gift there was nothing, so let's look the talia b'makom banya. He's not going to end up having a portion in the gift with those younger sons. Amli Rav Abahu Rav Yirmiya Hilchasa Kavasana Hilchasa Kavasaychus Halacha like us or like you. Amalei said to him, "Shita, it's obvious to Hilchasa Kavasana. It's clear that Halacha is like us. The Kshisha Minaychu, because we're older than you. Svelav Hilchasa Kavasaych Halacha is not like you. The Daradikiyatun, you're young people." Amalei midi b'kshishus Italia milsa is halacha following who's older. The time of Italia milsa, it's based on logic. So the Gemara will continue and talk about what the logic is of this discussion.